Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you're new to the program, thank you for taking some time out of your day to download this episode, to listen to us talk about 1989's Next of Kin, directed by John Irvin.
Are you sure it's not directed by...
Oh, that is unfair.
No. Directed by a series of quiet snores.
Did you find this movie boring?
I found this movie incredibly boring.
You're out of your mind. Folks at home, I actually want to apologize that we're doing this movie because it's okay to like a movie out there. You
of
know?
Course it's fine to like this movie. I find it incredible. I mean, it's like NyQuil to me. It's just like there's so much bullshitting in between what I want from this movie and what it's giving to me.
It's astounding to me that your version of NyQuil features Ben Stiller playing an Italian mafioso.
And
it does make you see things.
Liam Neeson playing a hillbilly, like a West... Is it West Virginia?
No, it's Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay. Oh, yeah. Nice holla.
Yeah. Holler? A holler.
Holler, yeah. Holler. Oh, I said holla bread.
No.
I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah. Holla back, holla bread. No. Holler.
No French toast being made.
Yeah, no, they're from a holler. Which I think is just like a hole in a mountain.
Yes.
A bunch of people crawl out
and
of
I
it.
And I think challah bread is illegal there.
Oh, right. Really?
Well, you know, I'm sure they're not. They don't take too kindly to
well, I'm sure. Maybe. Now, this movie, if you haven't seen it, gang, which it's been making the rounds on HBO recently, so some people may have already caught this. It's Patrick Swayze,
oh, yeah.
Liam Neeson, Bill Paxton,
yes.
All as hillbilly brothers, which is amazing.
It's what you want.
Then you got... noted conservative antagonist Adam Baldwin.
Oh, man.
And he's
playing himself in this movie. Yeah,
more or less. And Ben Stiller playing these Italian gentlemen who are in the mafia.
And Sykes! Sykes from The Fugitive.
Right.
The one-armed man from The Fugitive is... The mafia boss.
Ben Stiller's father.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
I didn't realize that until just now.
He's also in Babylon 5 as Gakkar.
Yeah, okay. You're on your own for that one, Kevin.
I mean, I watched two seasons. Give me a break here.
You got him. You got... Now, this is pretty awesome. Chicago area listeners and improv enthusiasts everywhere. The great improv guru Del Close is in this movie, one of his few film appearances. He's playing, like... a D-grade version of Robert Duvall's Tom Hagen character from the Godfather movies.
Oh, he's the older guy with the glasses?
Yeah,
oh,
that's okay. That's Del Close.
The mob lawyer.
Yeah, he's like the...
Consigliere.
Yeah, exactly. An F-grade Tom Hagen is what we're talking here. So this is a loaded cast, man. You got Helen Hunt as Patrick Swayze's put-upon violinist wife.
Mm-hmm.
Man, fucking Del Close sends Adam Baldwin up the river in this movie.
He really does, and that's, you know, don't fuck with Del Close.
Never
Everybody will tell you. Everybody will tell you that.
Yeah. That's an urban legend.
And so rounding out this cast, at the beginning of the movie, we've got Ted Levine... once again playing a character at the end of his rope. And it's like this weird thing. I didn't know this was a problem with Chicago. And I know, like, you know, the western, you know, northwestern border of Kentucky is, you know,
right
neighboring
there.
With the southern tier of Illinois there. But, like, I didn't know that, like, hillbillies escaping to the big windy city was such a problem in the late 80s.
I honestly don't think it was.
Because, I mean, this movie presents it as such. Because, like, this cop is like, oh, no, we got another one of them fucking hillbillies messing up this hotel.
But as much as bad as that is, like, when you go home, when Swayze goes home, they act like it's Green Day went to a major label. Like, it's just bullshit. Like, they're just like, oh, you went and got a job, you motherfucker.
Well, yeah, well, that's, I mean...
That's true, I would say, probably.
Yeah, in those, you know, like, I mean, I guess we'll call them xenophobic, you know, parts of the country. You know.
Honestly, I feel like I go home to my holler of upstate New York, and people be like, "Oh, Mr. Big Apple decided to grace us,
city boy,
la di da, Mr. Zip Up Hoodie."
Exactly right. And so that's the guff that Patrick Swayze gets in this movie. He is a hillbilly made good, right? Like, he got out. He's a member of the Chicago Police Department. He's a detective. And I guess he just gets called whenever a hillbilly gets into some trouble because he's one of them. Like, he can talk the guy down.
He's the billy talker. The billy whisperer, maybe.
Yes.
And so, like, here's Ted Levine. He's just, like, roughed up a woman and, like, got in a bar fight or something.
It'll happen.
And he's held up in this, you know, men's house that looks like Elwood Blues lives down the hall.
I mean, he's going through a lot of shit. Like, it doesn't seem like it's one single thing. He walks in, he's got five problems to lay right down on Patrick Swayze's door.
No, I know. And I felt like it's that episode of Seinfeld where George is dating the woman that thinks he's a tourist. And she's like, no, this city would chew you up and spit you out, George. Like, I feel like we're supposed to believe Ted Levine has been chewed up and spit out by the city of Chicago. And so, you know, Swayze goes in and he's like, oh, hey there, so-and-so, I'm so-and-so. I recall your kin and this, that, and the other thing. And, like, it's a pass for Swayze not getting his face shot off by Ted Levine. He's like, right. Oh, yeah, come on in. We can have a beer and talk about things. And he's got to, like, talk him off this ledge. Or else the big, tough police department in Chicago is just going to murder this guy. Like, they are set. Right. Like, the guy in the car is like, Patrick Swayze, you have 15 minutes, and then I'm going to go up there and put some hair on the wall, this guy says.
But what's the difference between this guy and any other guy? Like, I understand that's part of the movie, but, like, really, can you tell? Go up there, a guy's got a gun, shoot him in the leg, and be done with it.
Yeah, wow. I don't know.
Swift Justice Chris Cabin over here.
That was actually the name of my 1988 miniseries.
Swift Justice.
I would love to see that.
At the age of five, I penned it all.
One of the best parts about the opening of this movie, it starts with this shot of, like, the peaceful holler, and it's like a little, like,
it's gore.
Oh, man, you know, so much mouth harp.
Yeah, there's a lot of mouth harp in this movie.
I thought it was gorgeous. Well, that combination, it pulled the heartstrings.
But what's awesome is this movie lets you know immediately that we're getting thrown into the big Chicago city because we dissolve into, like, a shot of a street scenario or whatever. And that beautiful mouth harp, like, country music immediately turns into Fat Guy John Candy music.
Oh, my God.
And you're just like, in the fucking Windy City. Yeah. Here we go.
And it's like this, you know, it's like an urban street and there's, like, all these businesses and buildings. Ugh.
I'm pretty sure it's raining.
Oh, it's raining in the beginning of this movie quite a lot. Yeah. It's like 7.
It's moody.
Yeah, it gets you right where you need to go. So, like, we're introduced to Patrick Swayze's character through this scene. We know that he's, like, good at what he does.
Truman Gates,
yes, fantastic name. So he talks Ted Levine down and whatnot, and then, like, he takes him out in the street, and some other detective's like, get this fucking hillbilly over here. And Patrick Swayze takes this dude by the throat and, like, shoves him up against the car, and he's like, don't you touch my prisoner. Like, I was like, is he going to get in trouble for that? Like, cops fighting other cops?
Well, no, I mean, if the guy's got cuffs on, like, that is, get the fuck away from him. Stay, like,
this is his
collar. He did it.
Well, we are in the United States where you're allowed to do whatever you want to a prisoner. So.
I suppose that's true.
Even in 1989.
It's a fuzzy.
I mean, I think it's much easier in 1989.
It's not a gray area. It's a blue area.
And what's awesome is he's yelling at this guy and he's like, do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? And I was like, man, if Patrick Swayze.
Oh, man.
Ever yelled at me.
Yeah.
Like, if I had ever had that happen to me, one, I'd be like, that's cool because I'm meeting Patrick Swayze technically. But then followed shortly thereafter, I'm shitting my pants.
Pissing myself fetal position the whole nine yards.
This movie really does remind you, man, what a fucking absolute loss.
He was a treasure.
Oh, man.
Oh, it just kills you.
He leads this movie. This movie does not work at all. I said it was boring, but it works only because of him.
Oh, yeah. He's the main force driving this movie. Again, it's certainly not Ben Stiller playing an Italian
or
mobster.
Liam Neeson with whatever this goddamn accent is.
Oh, who could know?
You know what? Liam Neeson's doing it for me, man.
Oh, really?
That, he's got that scraggle beard, and he's like, oh, I'm an Irish holler.
What do I need?
Irish holler.
Why do I need the city for? I could piss out my sink right here.
Yeah. Oh, the loud city out there.
That is a great line where Liam Neeson's talking about, like, yeah, why he's excited to own his own property.
Yeah.
And he basically says, like, he could kick open the door of his trailer and piss on his front steps and nobody can do anything about it. And I was like, yeah, Liam Neeson's right. If I opened my apartment door and just pissed in the hallway, I'm sure someone would have something to say about it.
I mean, if you're quick, nobody's going to know.
Well, I feel like I go out in my apartment hallway, sure, I take a breath. Yeah. Someone's giving me a lecture.
Oh, really? Your building's terrible, dude. I don't know.
The weight of the city altogether.
I thought you were going to say that you walk right outside of your apartment and all of a sudden the floor is covered in piss already.
Yeah, that
might very well happen as well.
I used to live in a building like that. I did. It sucked. Everyone's poor when you get out of college.
Yeah. You deal with pissy hallways.
Patrick Swayze, correct me if I'm wrong in this movie, but I'm pretty sure Patrick Swayze has not one but two ponytails in this movie.
He can do a double braid.
Because what's going on here is there's like the ponytail that he's got like from the hair on his head.
Mm.
But then if you look closely,
there's a neck one?
There's a ponytail, you're exactly right, made out of the hair on his neck.
Do they interconnect?
No.
What?
That's how Patrick Swayze mated.
He made it like the Avatar aliens.
They're separate. I thought it was like a Voltron situation where they all go together.
They're not becoming one ponytail, dude. It's a ponytail that rests on top of a smaller ponytail.
Oh, it's like the support beam.
Yeah. Because when he's like shaking his head around in this movie, there's fucking two tails going around.
Well, I had a theory that it's not the big city job, it's not the violinist wife, it's none of that that really bothers his clan back home. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that he has this ponytail and he's not letting it just go fucking free.
Oh, yeah, that's like, it's like society is binding your hair into this ponytail. Like, look at you. You wear a tie to work, you put your hair in two ponytails.
You ought to free that ponytail.
Take it from me, letting this mane fly free here in the holler.
You've changed. You've changed.
Don't you also appreciate my southern accent? I'm born and bred in Kentucky. Liam Neeson. What is his character's name in this movie?
Briar.
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 Like the patch.
Yes.
Briar. Like the patch. Or Briar. Like the non-possessive version of the ice cream chain.
Every other shot of Briar needs to feature the Confederate flag.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because that is who I am.
Well, because it's like his accent is so unconvincing. You have to be like, is this guy really Southern? Oh, yep. He's draped almost exclusively in the Confederate flag.
I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. But if you do not cut that goddamn ponytail, I'm coming for you.
Oh, man.
The Union will be taken.
He's got a special set of skills to cut that ponytail off, I bet.
I do kind of think that if that's why they're so cautious about having him stay in their home, it's because at any moment he could just walk in that fucking room and with a pair of scissors end the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's done with.
Also, he's bragging about pissing on the floor all the time.
Yeah, that's also a
problem.
You don't
want that as a house guest.
I wonder if they did have a scene where, you know, Patrick Swayze takes him and toilet trains him. Because apparently he's just been pissing and shitting in the woods, and that's kind of all he does.
Well, that's freedom, Chris.
Yes. Capital F, freedom.
I think that there's a degree of freedom. That's what our ancestors did.
They fought for.
Well, no, that's what we lived in the wild.
I suppose that's true.
And the world was a toilet then.
The world's a toilet now, by the way.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Oh, especially the cities.
Just one giant toilet.
Yeah.
So
Bill Paxton's the other brother.
Now Bill Paxton is the youngest of the three brothers. And he has moved to Chicago, like kind of against his will. You know, Patrick Swayze's like doing the old, you know, if you move here, you get out of the holler, you know, you can make a life for yourself. So he's like a truck driver and he's also like working at a gas station.
He's doing a bunch of stuff. I mean, I think he stocks vending machines, I think is what he does. Because in the beginning.
Oh, you're totally right.
He's stocking Marlboros.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh my God, cigarette machines. Like it just, It takes you back. The minute you see them, I was like, oh my God.
They still exist.
Do they?
Yeah, but where?
Texas.
Only Texas? But when am I going to
Texas?
That's
the last time I saw it, anyway.
But when am I going to go to Texas? I want one in my bar down the street from me, not to have to go all the way to Austin.
Exactly. Sorry. I don't even smoke. I just like the sight of them.
Yeah, well.
They were cool.
You know, you got
I got to branch out. I got to go down south, I guess.
Yeah, you got Bloomberg to blame for that.
Oh, yes. Well.
Oh, man.
Or someone.
Remember that guy? Remember that billionaire king mayor we had for a dozen years? Yeah. That was weird.
It was the long haul.
So, yeah, there's a scene at the beginning where there's this fight about, like, you know, oh, yeah, you're fighting over, like, you and Liam Neeson are fighting over me. Like, you want to control my life, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Patrick Swayze then goes to a church where we're introduced to Helena Hunt, who, for the second time in her career, is playing a character that plays a stringed instrument. Because on Mad About You, her character played a cello.
It's an interesting connection.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched a lot of Mad About You.
This is like pop-up video. Bloop, bloop.
Yeah. That's the noise it made.
And then it says, you know.
Helen Hunt also played a classical trained musician in Next of Kin with Patrick Swayze.
You know, so they've got a pretty nice life. They've got a nice house. You know, trying, I guess, to have a baby. There's a weird... This, like, prelude to sex scene that we have in this movie is, like, Patrick Swayze's making some creepy voices, and he's just like, oh, hey there, Helen Hunt. Oh, you looking for the mountain man? Where's your mountain man, Helen Hunt?
He's just chasing her with the fiddle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right, because he's got her violin that we see her playing, like, classical music on.
It's a violin for her. He grabs it, and it turns into a fiddle.
Oh, it turns into a fiddle real quick.
I mean, as soon as you cross the county line, it's a fiddle.
Well, and it's also how you hold it, right? Because, like, when she plays violin, it's up on her shoulder. She's very graceful. When he's playing it, he's holding it in the forearm like a waiter with a stack of plates.
Wedged into that bicep.
Oh, yeah, and he's just going to town with that bow on this thing.
Also, if you have grimy hands, instantly becomes a fiddle.
You can stain this violin, it's a fiddle.
Yeah, there's some dirt under those nails.
Oh, at all times.
Yeah.
There are some close-ups of some grimy-ass fingernails in this movie.
Well, any moment Liam Neeson is on screen in this movie, it's just Grub City.
It is Grub City, and it's kind of off-putting. Like, dirty-ass, like, black-under-your-nails fucking grime.
You know, Liam Neeson in the 80s was weird, man. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. In Krull, which we mentioned the other week, he played like a giant or something.
Yeah.
Or a guy with a staff. I don't know.
Well, I think it was all the way up to Schindler's List. Everything before Schindler's List, he looks just strange in. I don't know what it is. Like, even Husbands and Wives. I was rewatching that recently.
Uh-huh.
And just him on camera being like, yeah, kind of like Julie Davis. Like,
it seems wrong.
It seems just strange. And I was just like, okay.
And
then
Schindler's List comes out, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. And then I would have never have thought he would start murdering people in every movie.
En masse.
Yeah.
So now it's like he's got his own genocide on his hands. Think about every character he's murdered in a movie in the last 10 years. A
lot of Eastern Europeans.
Fucking just take the Taken movies. Like,
a lot of Eastern Europeans sounds like Hitler to me.
What was I going to say about Liam Neeson? Well, in this movie, this is kind of like a prelude to those movies, because he is kicking some major ass in this movie.
It's terrific.
Whether he's fighting with Patrick Swayze, where there is a phenomenal fight scene between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. You're in the briar patch now, boy.
You stepped in the briar patch, and you're not getting out without getting poked.
Is that what he says? Like, if he was a wrestler, like, he comes out and he calls out, like, Stone Cold, you're in the briar patch now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, that's exactly what happened.
You just made Schindler's List.
You're on Schindler's shit list now, Stone Cold. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I would be into it.
And he's never had to appear on Raw, like, promoting any of those shitty movies. I figured that would have happened.
If it didn't, it should. Oh, John Cena, you want to run all night?
And then Common comes out with his super weapon and shoots him.
I asked a colleague who saw that movie if Common was a time cop in it. Turns out he's just the best assassin in Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Common's in this movie?
Oh, yeah. He's a super assassin.
We're talking about Run All Night?
Yes, Run All Night.
He's on the poster.
I missed it. I think I thought he was Ed Harris or something. I don't know. This is a menacing bald person.
And common as Jackson Pollock.
I'd see that.
Does anybody remember that Pollock biopic that Ed Harris was
in? I love that movie.
Okay.
Big time. Didn't he like, it's like Ed Harris doing a bunch of paintings, hanging out, and then he crashes a car.
That's
the movie.
I just remember that, like, and it's one of those, like, just striking moments of alcoholism in cinema where he is riding that little shitty bike and he's got the crate of beers on top of it trying to keep it even.
Yep. Yeah. That's how you did it back then, dude. How you did it. So then we are introduced to the mafia who's in this movie, and this is the main players, like we said, are Adam Baldwin and Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller is the actual biological son of the mafia guy.
Of Sykes, yes.
And then Adam Baldwin is like the guy who's calling him Papa John.
Well, it's like his right-hand man, I think.
Well,
like
calls
the guy.
Him uncle a lot. It's a lot of uncle.
He's calling him Papa. He's calling him Papa John.
No, that's what Ben Stiller, I think.
No, dude. It's Adam Baldwin for sure.
Papa John's is involved in this thing?
Like asshole pizza magnet.
Yeah, that's it's a front for this. That pizza chain is a front for the mafia. I think this is.
Maybe they were maybe it was named after him. After this character,
specifically.
You think John Schnatter, that fucking penny pinching dickhead, you think that he's a huge fan of Next of Kin, and he's like, when I open my pizza chain so I can rebuild that sports car that I put in my commercials.
See, that's what you don't know about this guy is that he was from a holler.
Most
he connected really hard with this movie, and he's like, you know, I got out too.
I know what it's like to escape a holler.
You were right on the money, Kevin, because that is holler pizza right there. that is not Italian mafia pizza.
No.
That
is Kentucky pizza.
Yeah, that is some shit ass pizza pies. Papa John's. Don't waste your money. There's the fucking slogan for that place. What a shithole.
Horrendous.
And our sponsor today.
Papa John's. Don't spend the money. So whatever, man. So what happens is they're looking to take over this vending machine company or whatever. They're looking to buy it out or whatever the fuck. And so Bill Paxton is on a run with a partner. They're dropping off a vending machine somewhere. And Adam Baldwin, Ben Stiller, and two other dudes, like, they basically try to crash the car to like jack the thing and take this. Right. And the whole thing is like the mob boss is like, take my son, Ben Stiller, with you. You know, he wants to get involved in the family business. I'm so proud of him, blah, blah, blah. So they're out on this hit trying to like run this car off the road. And Bill Paxton's buddy is like, hey, man, you know, just pull over. They're just going to jack the truck, whatever. It's fine. They've sort of accepted it. It's kind of like in that snooze fest, A Most Violent Year, when those oil trucks keep getting jacked and they're just like, oh, please just take the oil truck. I'm just going to be over here taking a nap, because that's what happens in that movie.
I still haven't seen it.
I can't remember a movie so recent that I wanted so much to like and that I was just not able to get through.
Oh, yeah.
It's such
a snooze. It was a struggle. It was a real struggle.
So they get pulled. Finally, he relents.
Because he crashes the car. He doesn't acquiesce to their threats.
But crashes the truck.
The truck. And the partner gets out and witnesses Stiller and Baldwin and all them taking him.
Right. They take Bill Paxton into the back of this truck, and they shoot him in the face. Which is interesting, because later in the movie, Liam Neeson or Patrick Swayze, somebody mentioned something about shot my brother in the back or something like that. And I was like, no, we saw that. He got shot right in the face, right in that beautiful Bill Paxton face. And this is like a 1989 Bill Paxton. So he's like a little bit of baby fat on him. He's youthful. I was like, Bill Paxton is in this movie. Like, how exciting.
Yeah, you could chew him up.
Yeah. He's in it for like 4 seconds.
They have all different, you know, these three brothers have distinctly different accents.
Yeah,
because even Pax is doing a little bit of a country twang, a little bit.
Yeah, but he's just kind of doing that country twang he's done in a lot of movies, which is just like Bill Paxton doing a southern accent. I feel like, isn't he kind of doing a southern accent in Aliens a little bit? Or not really?
I mean, it's a yee-haw kind of thing, but I'm not sure if
that's
he necessarily
American.
Has an accent.
That's just American.
And then Patrick Swayze is doing his like southern accent, which Patrick Swayze's done in other movies. So he gets shot in the face, and you know the whole thing is like Patrick Swayze shows up, and he knows what is about to happen because he has to call back to the holler and be like, "Hey man, I'm going to be coming back to town with Bill Paxton, except well, he's in a pine box, and you know, yep. I'm sorry I dragged him to the city against all of your wishes, including his own." And now he was murdered.
And could you tell Breyer about this now so that he can go on his tear before I get there and I'm forced to go with him?
Yeah, and so what he knows is about to happen is that once the family hears about this, they're going to want what is the overall theory of this film, hillbilly justice.
Right.
Which is the swiftest and fairest of all the American justices.
This is what your miniseries is about, right?
Swift. I mean, we changed it up because the first it was swift corporate justice, and then we turned it into swift hillbilly justice.
Nice.
Which is more, you know, elemental. So I was interested in it. But here's the thing with this.
With what?
Hillbilly
Justice?
Yes, the movie is called Next of Kin.
Correct.
It should be called Hillbilly Justice.
Yeah, but you know what? You're not getting Hillbilly Justice on a poster because at the end of the day, there's some folks that are finding Hillbilly offensive.
Is it?
Like, oh, yeah.
But can't you get like one of those things where it's like written in blood on the poster kind of look?
I mean, if you wrote Next of Kin in blood, that's pretty cool,
that's
too.
Much, yeah,
like
that's
like the knockoff movie is Hillbilly Justice.
Yeah, this like is, in Japan. This is... It's called Hillbilly Justice.
No, he's talking about if, like, Troma made some movie.
Right, well,
the Asylum or one of those
right,
people.
Right, or someone, because, you know, at the essence, this movie is part of the Hicksploitation genre.
I guess that's
it's
true.
It's a classy Hicksploitation yeah.
right,
film.
So that's why they use the classy title of Next of Kin, because, you know, these yeah. people are always talking about their kin.
One thing I don't want to lose is during Bill Paxton's murder scene, Adam Baldwin is talking about, like, he's seen this kind of person, that kind of person, but hillbillies are the dumbest. Yeah. And what when he's saying this kind of person and that kind of person, it's every slur under the sun.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Those are coming, again, real easy to Adam Baldwin.
Yeah. Because, wait, he became, like, a super racist or something, right?
I don't know if he's a super racist. He's a very touchy, conservative person who likes... spouting out Palin-esque theories about things.
Which is it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost prefer Stephen Baldwin yakking about God. I honestly...
Now back to Stephen Baldwin yakking about God.
Is he part of that clan?
Oh, Stephen man. Baldwin? He's a nut job.
No, Adam Baldwin.
No, he's not related to them.
Okay, good, yeah. So he's not next of kin. Okay, I just wanted to get that out of the way.
No, but I just always assume all Baldwins are of one Baldwin.
Well, if you go far back enough, probably, yeah. right? There's some primordial ooze.
Or at least, you know, Ireland. So we've got this funeral going on, and, you know, they take the train down into the holler. Helen Hunt comes with, and, you know, it's a really awkward, like, meeting the in-laws for the first time, except it's, like, a clan of people who fear outside contact. Yeah. Jesus, that's a lot of pressure for Helen Hunt.
Not fun.
Did you guys catch the name of the town?
No.
Dumpsville?
Close. It's really weird, actually. Carbon Glow.
What?
At least that's the name at the train station.
Carbon Glow, Kentucky?
Yeah, so I guess that's where they did a lot of coal mining, I
well,
guess.
Well, yeah, they make, Liam Neeson says, because Patrick Swayze says something about, like, where's your truck or something like that, and he's like, oh, it was owned by the mining company. Yeah. Took it when the mine folded, it did. So, like, he's out of a job. They took right. his truck.
Oh yeah,
he's fucking living a country song.
That's my problem with this is like the yammering on about the coal truck and all this stuff that I don't need to know about. It doesn't help the movie.
I love that part.
I couldn't take it.
You loved that part?
Just him talking about the truck.
Well,
I think I just liked hearing Liam Neeson as Breyer. I could not get enough.
That accent is just outrageous.
Yeah.
Why would you cast Liam Neeson as this character?
Well, you know, Irish, hillbilly.
Yes.
What's the difference?
I guess so. I mean, that's always the mystery with Liam Neeson, though. Like, in this movie, it's different because you are specifically told, like, this is a character who's born and bred in this part of the country and whatever. In a lot of these Liam Neeson movies, much like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, like his origin point is kind of a gray area. Like, yeah. In the Taken movies, is he...
I don't think
he's an Irish guy?
No.
He's American.
He's just American.
They say that anyway, you know.
Well, I mean
oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, he's I don't know. He's like Brian Mills. Blah, blah, blah. They don't really explain it.
Well, that's like in A Walk Among the Tombstones, which I think is a good movie, actually. I liked it. I was like, is he doing like an Irish cop thing? But then I guess not. Like, it's always it's impossible to tell if he... What I'm trying to say is if he's trying to cover up his accent or not.
I'm not sure if he can. I mean, that's a lion on a leash kind of situation.
I actually really want to rewatch Schindler's List now.
He covers it up very well in that.
That's what got him the Oscar.
Yeah,
hiding that brogue.
I mean, honestly.
They were like, holy shit, you covered that up really well. Academy Award.
I think it's technically an honorary Oscar.
Did he win for that?
I'm almost positive.
He had to.
Did he? Oh, I was about to ask you guys.
You know, if he didn't, he should have.
I'm going to get on the internet ticker.
Fair enough. So we, you know, they have the funeral, and there's an awkward moment where, like, all the ladies are out on the porch, and they're like, Patrick Swayze tells us that you play the violin. Will you play for us? And she's like, right now? That's like, yeah, of course right now, you idiot. Like, they want something to lift their spirits. Like, come on, let's play some fiddle. And she gets this, like, a little kid runs in the house, grabs this fiddle, and is like, here, fiddle it up. And she starts playing, like, the most downtrodden, sad as shit classical music. And the whole town is listening to this, and you can hear everyone just going into this state of depression.
Well, it's amazing. It's like the bells at the end of Breaking the Waves. It's just like everybody throughout the county can hear this fucking thing.
Yeah, and they're like, will you, like, how about playing something a little more upbeat? Like, you're just finishing up a funeral. We're just looking to laugh again, Helen Hunt. We just want to laugh again.
Yeah, there's just four or five shots of people bawling their eyes out or looking solemnly at the sky.
Or throwing an axe at a playing card, which I guess is a traditional holler post-funeral activity.
Sure.
Oh. Which actually looked like a lot of fun. I will be the first to admit it. I'd like to throw an axe at something.
I'm game. Yeah.
Oh, in from the ticker. Nominated. Did not win.
Oh! Does it say who won over him?
Let me check.
Because that's just crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of insane.
He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
What was that, 93? 94.
What else
would that have been?
Oh, well, that's why. Tom Hanks, Philadelphia.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Yeah,
every time.
That, speaking of a Sophie's Choice, AIDS or Holocaust?
That is Oscar's Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, you're totally right. So, whatever, we're wrapping up this funeral, and the whole thing is Patrick Swayze walks into the kitchen or the dining room where Liam Neeson and the rest of like the elders of the holler have gathered around this like family Bible, and they're basically saying some credo that's like, all right, the blood feud is on. They took one of ours. We're going to take one of theirs, kind of a thing. And Patrick Swayze walks in and he's like, now, Breyer, you're going to leave this up to the Chicago Police Department. We are going to catch the killer and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I'm going to go to Chicago and I'm going to kill him. And there ain't nothing you can do about it because that's hillbilly justice. And then someone goes, that's what this should have been called. So now we've set up like what the big feud of this movie is, right? Yeah. Like two feuding brothers who hate each other's guts have different opinions as to how the killer of their other brother should be brought to justice.
And they both have to also wrangle the mafia on top of this.
Yeah, you got to. Well, when you're trying to get a mafioso, you know, you got to break into the mafia.
That's true.
It is. It's very true. You can't just go to the mafia and be like, you know, excuse me.
Although
I think one of your guys killed my brother.
Well, actually, that's kind of what Swayze does.
Well, but he's doing it the cop route, though.
Yes.
Yeah, he walks in. They're moving. I guess the assassination of Bill Paxton somehow allowed the mafia to just take over this vending machine company.
Which makes no sense at all.
Absolutely no sense.
And I'm pretty sure that this is a company that makes two things. vending machines for cigarettes and pinball machines. Yeah. Because, like, they're moving into this new office space slash mafia hideout. And it's, like, cigarette machines all over the place. And then just a ton of awesome pinball machines all over the place. And I was like, this is a pretty sweet hideout for the mafia. It's like if the mafia was run by 10-year-old boys. What do you want? Cigarettes and video games.
Oh, maybe it's, like, Big.
Do you think Adam Baldwin is like a 10-year-old in an adult's body?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, Sykes is Fred Savage, and, well, like, you know, in what, 2 months, he's going to shrink back to Fred Savage.
Oh,
I think,
yeah,
there's a certain percentage of mafiosos just have baby brains.
That's also possible.
Oh, that could
they're
be,
kind
yeah
of underdeveloped. They think you get something by hitting someone. But also, I feel like, I think it's kind of implied that Adam Baldwin kills Bill Paxton in a way to, like, scare Ben Stiller's character to be like, now, do you really want to be involved in your father's, well, business?
Because, oh, yeah.
Because he was, like, Adam Baldwin was about to basically take over the business once Sykes retires,
yeah,
and then his son gets involved late in the game.
Right.
Well, that's what I kind of thought, is that he was scaring him. Like, he was, yes, like, get the fuck out of here. This is what I do, because Sykes is pissed off when he finds out he killed him. He's like,
so it doesn't,
dude, I got a cop on my ass,
yeah,
now. Are,
right,
you serious?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you want to be in the mafia? Well, this is what the mafia does. But in reality, it's like, what the fuck did you do that for?
Yeah, the mafia does not want cops. Like,
exactly.
They want to just do their business, crime business. That's all they need to do.
Absolutely. There's an awesome shot when Patrick Swayze, like, first pulls up to the hideout. Like, he's got to get checked in by some security guard who's, yeah, at a gate. The mullet on this security guard. Huh. Like, it's just some actor,
mm-hmm,
but it looks like Gene Simmons.
Well, I mean, it's a real cornucopia between the Hala and the city. The hairstyles are just up and down the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's wonderful. But
I love it.
I did want to bring up something in the Hala, speaking of, you know, getting ages mixed up.
Uh-huh.
There is a picture at the funeral. There is this picture of Bill Paxton, 35-year-old Bill Paxton,
yeah,
in a I just graduated high school.
Oh, really?
With a diploma. And it's like, it was clearly taken the day before the movie was shot.
Well, I'll say this for authenticity's sake, Chris. We are talking about a high school in a holler. Who knows how long it took him to graduate? Just putting,
well,
that out there.
Got my diploma. Time to go to Chicago with my big brother.
There's another awesome holler moment where, like, there's a little kid with a bow and arrow, yeah, like, shooting at a target, and Helen Hunt's like, oh, hey, Patrick Swayze, you were good at this once, right? Why don't you show up this little kid? And he does.
Yes.
And then he, like, teaches the little kid, like, how to aim.
Yeah,
you know?
This is great.
And he's like, there you go, son. You just got yourself a 10-point buck. And this little kid just goes, no, sir, I just killed the man who shot Uncle Gerald. And I was like, holy children of the corn, everybody.
I mean, wouldn't you want to take the kid aside? Like, Patrick Swayze just pats him on the head after,
well,
that?
There's two reactions to something like that, right? There's either, like, total outright fear, and you just, yeah, you pat the kid on the head, like, that's great, Elijah, and back away. Or, you know, kind of like grab him by the shirt collar, like, killing is wrong, no violence, don't do that. Don't say things like that.
And say it exactly like that, too.
Yeah, nice and unorganized. But it's amazing because, like, Patrick Swayze and Helen Hunt both look at each other like, and we want one of these?
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Like,
well, yeah. You're going to have yourself a holla, baby.
Oh, yeah. Smells like she could give birth to a nice holla baby.
And then it's just a, you know, murderous little kid. Right?
Well, yeah, then it turns into, like, It's Alive, right? Speaking of murderous babies. Monster babies.
Monster babies with weird teeth.
There's a bullshit scene. I don't know how Ben Stiller's making this power play in this movie.
I don't know how he got cast in this movie.
Well, that's just a mystery for the ages. I mean, Ben Stiller's a superstar now. Del Close is dead. Patrick Swayze's dead. There's nothing we can do about it. Somehow Ben Stiller got cast in this movie.
I always chalk it up to Jerry's got a lot of pull.
You think Jerry Stiller's got a lot of pull?
I think he's got a lot of pull.
Really?
Because, I mean, he was what? He was a big, like, stage comedian for a long time,
yeah,
right? So, well, I mean, yeah, I assume he had a lot of contact.
You're doing that much King of Queens if you've got a lot of pull? I don't know.
Maybe it was like he did have some pull with the mob, and it's just like, Ben, you're going to go in with the mob.
Learn the tricks.
Yeah.
You'll be ready to go to Hollywood right after.
Got to go method.
No, I was just wondering about Ben Stiller's power play in this movie. I guess that's because his father's like the Don, but they're like fighting over who has the best office in this hideout and all of this shit. And I guess, Chris, this is where I could sort of see where you're talking about like the boring parts of it, because I'm like, just get to the hillbilly justice. Like, I know it's coming. I know Liam Neeson's ready to leave for Chicago tomorrow. Get to that. I don't care about Adam Baldwin arguing over the fucking material that a couch is made out of.
I honestly don't need these characters to be legitimized. I know this is an action movie where the mafia is fighting hillbillies. That's all I want is the mafia fighting hillbillies.
There's this great moment where after Patrick Swayze, like, he comes to the hideout and kind of fucks with them, looking through files and stuff. He's looking for the guy who was Bill Paxton's, like, co-driver. Mm-hmm. And he goes there, like, kind of fucks with him a little bit, like, oh, I'm looking for the guy who killed my brother, and I know that his coworker worked for you, and blah, blah, blah. And he kind of, like, just shakes things, you know, shakes the tree a little bit. And then Adam Baldwin's like, let's follow that fucker. So Patrick Swayze, like, lures them to this apartment complex. Oh, man, it's awesome. One, because you know already that Adam Baldwin's character is a huge racist. So they get to this apartment complex, and he's got to be, like, shaking in his boots already. And they run, like, they think they're following Patrick Swayze. Like, oh, they yell at some kid, like, well, you see some white guy come through here? He's probably got two ponytails and a cowboy hat on. And he's just like, oh, yeah, he's down at, like, room 152 or whatever. Or apartment 152, and they go down there, and then you see this guy, like, go, oh, no, there's no 152. Cut to these dudes getting their cars stripped. Oh, it's awesome.
It's like they've been parked for 5 minutes, and so there's, like, nothing left to their car at all.
Oh, it's great. It's like a vacation moment. Like, roll them up. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's a bunch of inner-city cartoon characters rush out and strip the car of everything. And I understand this used to be a problem, but this quickly?
It's not a Ralph Bakshi
cartoon. Stop it.
It's so fucking funny. And, you know, Adam Baldwin's like, slur, slur, slur. And it turns out, like, Patrick Swayze's paid off this kid to do that and whatever. And it's awesome because Patrick Swayze, like, peels out of this parking lot laughing at them.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing like a racist getting theirs. It's so great.
I kind of imagined he was going to wave to them as he left.
He should have. Just give him a big thumbs up and, like, laughing, like, audibly laughing out the window. He's driving a cool, like, Thunderbird in this car,
or,
too.
Or piss out the window.
While driving a car.
It could happen.
It's your property.
I own this city. I'm a cop.
Sometimes I sleep in here.
Pay taxes. I own the street, too.
So Liam Neeson comes to Chicago, like, against the wishes of Patrick Swayze. And this is where the movie really heats up, because unlike Patrick Swayze, Liam Neeson wastes no time.
But there's also, it's like this buildup. It's great. You see him in a pickup truck drive it into the city.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, man.
Trouble's afoot.
With all this Rooster Rock going on in the background.
Rooster Rock. I love it.
This bullshit, like, what's the one when he's driving is the best, where it's backwoods coming to the city. Like, right. it's
like Blues Traveler meets Jack Mack and the Heart Attack.
Yes, it is. It's with almost exactly that.
Country twang to it.
I mean, it is one of those songs, though, that you're like, did you write this for the movie? Because it is like, hillbilly coming to the big city, avenging the murder of his brother who used to stuff cigarette machines for a living.
Well, that's definitely the case where there's another one where it's just like, brother to brother.
Oh, that fucking
brother to brother. Like, it just goes on.
I love it, man.
It pops up no less than 3 times in this movie. And it's like whenever there's a brother on screen together, it's like, fucking Ben Stiller and Adam Baldwin, they're doing it. They're doing it with Bill Paxton and Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze and Liam Neeson.
Oh, it's all when Patrick Stewart has to. Well,
not oh, I wish Stewart, Patrick Stewart, Patrick Stewart was in this movie.
I'd be so happy.
Oh, hello, Adam Baldwin. That sure is some racist stuff you're saying. Get out of here, Adam. I don't need to hear that.
Where is the British mob coming in too?
Oh yeah, dude. Then it's then it's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah, it would be.
Then everybody's fucking checking out.
And then it's even worse.
Much worse. Well, because I was going to say, this is not, because John Irvin, who directed this, he also directed Raw Deal with Schwarzenegger. And
right.
It's kind of the same movie.
It's sort of the same plot as Raw
Deal. He's just like a local sheriff.
Come on. Don't bullshit me.
I do like Raw Deal a whole lot more than that.
Isn't Raw Deal, though, isn't there something with the FBI in that movie?
He used to be an FBI agent, but he's now a small town sheriff.
Oh, that's right.
In a holla.
He's a cop, you idiot.
Liam Neeson moves into this flop house. And
starts making bullets right off the bat.
Oh, yep, exactly.
And this guy that runs the flop house is a great small-time character actor. I forget his name, but he was in Scrooged.
Yes, that's like probably his biggest thing that he's known for.
Yeah. Oh, Michael J. Pollard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
he's great.
So he's playing like the half-brained proprietor of this pseudo establishment, and again, it's another like Elwood Blues is living down the hall from you, like
right.
Dude's flop house,
right? And they're like, at one point, Liam Neeson looks at the wall, and there's this sign that's like no women,
no alcohol,
no food,
bed by 10.
And you know, I forget what this line was.
Sounds good to me, I think is what it
but
is.
It was like sarcastic. It's like, oh, this is what you call freedom in the big city, eh?
Oh, yeah, I'm real impressed, big city. Can't fuck a prostitute after 10 p.m. while eating a sandwich. Great.
Because right, he's used to being able to fuck whatever he wants and pee out the windows.
Eat a sandwich at the same time.
The Hala does not have a state legislature. So.
No. It's barely recognized as part of the United States of America.
They tried once, but I took them.
Took them all.
That would be great. It's
back
just,
then, I was taking people.
You just hear some dude talking like, oh, they tried that once. But I took care of it. And you're like, what? Took care of who? Who are you talking about? Don't worry. They're not around anymore. Who's not around anymore?
Where are they now?
Killed them all, of course.
Oh, man. Don't chill my bones all over again. Jesus Christ. You know what's a great thing? And how they left this out of that documentary, I have no idea. Do you know?
The Jinx?
The Jinx, yes. Okay. Now we're talking about Bob Durst for no reason. But that guy was apparently recently arrested and fined $500 for whipping it out in a CVS checkout line and taking a piss on the candy counter.
Wow.
And you're allowed to do that. Yet
$500 for only $500.
I feel like I couldn't get away with that. I'd be in Rikers.
Oh no, you'd be
a
in jail.
Sex offender instantly.
I think if you're whipping it out and pissing on stuff in a store after 10 p.m., it's a much lesser fine, is what's going on.
Oh really?
So if you're pissing on stuff on in a store like in Family Hours.
Did you see the fact that AP did in fact refer to it? They thought he, in an article. They referred to him as Fred Durst. They had to correct. AP had to like put a retraction out.
Sorry, we let the new intern post that story. He's a huge Limp Bizkit fan still for some reason.
That's a bunch of he said, she said bullshit.
It is exactly that.
Hey, does anyone want to put bets on how quickly he skates from this one? Or does he get the death penalty in California?
I think he's going down. I think it's like a life in prison thing. They don't light people up anymore in Cali, do they?
They certainly do.
Well, not old white man, am I right? He's all right. He'll be fine.
Folks, he just tapped notes on the table like it was a late night talk show again.
Letterman over here.
It's pretty great. So Liam Neeson's making these bullets and, you know, Michael J. Pollard's like, oh, wow, that's looking like you're going to do a bunch of stuff I'm never going to ask you about. And it's like, yep, that's right, dude. That's how you own a place like this. Asking zero questions.
Like, what are you doing hanging out with a guy preparing bullets and stuff?
Yeah. Don't you have a nudie mag to get back to?
Yeah, this character's looking at a lot of nudie mags.
You know, you definitely can't evict him anymore.
No.
But don't hang out with the guy.
And don't be like putting your ear up again. Like, this guy's a pervert. He keeps on putting his ear up to the guy's door.
I'm just listening to you. Sorry.
And Breyer instantly finds him. And he's like, how'd you find me? I could smell you through the door.
He says he could smell him. Now, either this dude smells, which is entirely possible.
I got a country nose.
Or he's got a country nose, which is like Wolverine. You can smell the dude from down the hall.
Well, that's the thing with the holler is that when you do, because the smells get so bad, like because nobody's showering.
Right.
And then it just gets so dense and complex that you can pick out smells from everywhere. Like all the BO becomes so, it's like
It's layered.
Like a potpourri.
You're like whoever starred in that Tom Tykwer movie Perfume.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not Dustin Hoffman.
No.
Who's the guy in that movie?
Isn't it
I don't know. Point is, yeah. he's got a great nose for making Perfume or whatever happened in that. That movie's like something, something Dustin Hoffman, something, something weird orgy at the end.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Because like he makes that perfume that's so strong, everybody just gets down to fucking.
Yeah, it becomes an orgy at the end.
Yeah, no, it's
big,
weird.
Big wild orgy.
Imagine that happened at the end of this movie. That's probably what's going on back at the Holler.
I was
once
actually,
the funeral services are over.
I was actually going to say maybe he's like Hannibal Lecter because he has all that kind of perfume bullshit in that Hannibal movie.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right. Oh, man, that's what you want. Is Liam Neeson turns out to be like an A-grade serial killer.
Yeah.
He's eating people.
And then, yeah, and then that's the thing, right? Then Patrick Swayze's like, oh, no, my one brother was murdered. And I'm trying to take care of that, but it turns out my other brother is a cannibalistic serial killer.
It would be amazing if Liam Neeson just started eating these Italian mobsters.
Note.
Ordered out some Italian.
Note to the Hannibal showrunners, Liam Neeson as Hannibal's younger brother, Jack Lecter.
Jack Lecter.
How you doing, Jack Lecter? Winter University of Dublin.
There's a great moment where Liam Neeson outsmarts guard dogs in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's so stupid.
The dog dodger. You know, this is a man who knows his way around a hound, and I think this might be possible.
Yeah.
If you're a real hound man, like you raised broods of dogs for years.
But he's not like the dog whisperer. The shot is as such. He's at the opening of this gate, and the two Rottweilers are coming out. They're not Rottweilers. They're pincers.
Doberman pincers.
Doberman, yeah. And they're running at him, and he will not move.
Well, that's, you know, your ground.
And then right when they're about to eat him alive,
yeah,
he just moves. Like, he just does a quick step to the left.
Dog dodgers in the 24th and a half
right.
century.
And then he closes the gate behind him, and he's unscathed.
Actually quips at the dogs.
Yeah.
He's like, gonna have to do better than that, boys.
Yeah.
And you're just like, are you talking shit to a dog?
A dog? A dog who's gonna be there when you come back out, by the way.
By the way, this is a guy who knows dogs, man. And these people know dogs. And later in the movie, we'll get to it, but these people.
Yeah.
A dog is just a weapon to them. Yeah. This is as if Liam Neeson just be like, would grab a gun out of your hand and be like, no, you don't. That's what it is with these dogs.
So he's basically, he's doing some reconnaissance work for when he later goes and ransacks this mafia hideout. So it's like, just in your average day in a mafia hideout, we're eating Chinese food, we're saying a lot of racist things, the boss is upstairs having sex with a prostitute, and Ben Stiller's the only one trying to get work done. Like, he's trying to file paperwork, and he's like, hey, where's Adam Baldwin? I got to get him to sign this thing. And everybody's like, he's upstairs fucking a prostitute. Leave him alone. And all of a sudden, the lights go out, and everybody's like trying to blame it on Ben Stiller for some reason. And that's like Liam Neeson is sneaking into this place.
Yeah.
And Adam Baldwin comes up, like, zipping his pants up, like, what the fuck's going on out here? Slur, slur, slur. Man,
Adam Baldwin with blue balls, you don't even want to know.
Nope, not at all. And he runs downstairs, like, slur, slur. And then all of a sudden the lights come back up, and there is Liam Neeson on the stairs behind him, shotgun pointed right at his chest. And it's like, oh, now it's on. Now, here we go.
And you would think the whole point of all of this is to get some answers. But really, all Liam Neeson is there to do is to mess up the joint. And I have never seen mafiosos get so pissed off. Adam Baldwin has a water tank blown up and like it covers him. He's like a gremlin. He gets so pissed off that the goddamn water got on him. He says he's never been so pissed off in his life.
Oh, my God. It would have been great if he had like little Italian Goombas grow on his shoulders.
Adam Baldwin start popping out of his back. Yeah, I would like that.
Oh, man, and they're all popping off his back like, slur, 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 slur. Oh,
it's kind of cute when a little one says it.
So Liam Neeson's like, hey, I know one of you killed my brother, Gerald. Or as Liam Neeson like actually says with his accent, Charles. Because you can't. He's trying to do something, but his body's doing something else. Yeah. And the name Gerald is just Jar.
lion on a leash. And it just, it does. It sounds like he's saying Jar, his brother Jar, which would actually make sense if one's named Briar and the other one's named Truman.
I don't know. Briar, Truman, Jar.
Jar works. That's a nice Christian name.
Piss pot. Let me look around the room.
Flake.
Some more.
Little hammer. Icebox.
Hey there, little hammer.
Chitlin.
Oh, there's like four chitlins.
Chitlin Gates.
Chitlin Gates. So, you know, he's like, just tell me who did it. You know, I'll be out of here. We'll settle this. Our blood feud will be over. And everyone in the mafia is like, blood feud? What the fuck is this guy talking about? We didn't get the blood feud newsletter.
And they don't tell him. And he keeps shooting up pinball machines. He shoots up the Chinese food.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, all right, well, I'm going to come back because that's what happens. The prostitute runs downstairs and she's like, I told you no kinky stuff and this shit's just weird. And you're like, yeah, it's like, you know what? I don't need this comedy. Like, this prostitute knows exactly what's going on. This is not the first time she's been fucking a John and all of a sudden someone came in and started shooting up the hideout.
And by the way, if I'm a prostitute and I walk down.
I'm with you so far.
And I'm walking down, and I just hear a bunch of gunshots. I ain't saying goodbye to nobody.
I'm not going down the stairs to talk shit and then announce that I called the police.
I would instantly steal stuff and then leave.
Precisely. Because Baldwin's office has got to be rife with this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they ever accuse you. You're like, what? Weren't you robbed that day? Because kind of, right? They're broken into.
Well, yeah. You know what I realized is just now is kind of low stakes about this mafia. They kind of only control the cigarette machine racket.
Uh-huh, and arcades.
Which it's not necessarily to say like they're controlling something like cigarette sales. It's just like the machines. Where the fuck is like the cocaine dealing? Well, where's that? Where's the gun running? Well, this is some Mickey Mouse mafia.
Well, Sykes does say he's a businessman. And you know what? Well, he's a legitimate businessman, apparently.
I'm sorry. You're making spaghetti sauce at 2:00 in the afternoon in the back of a social club where there's a bunch of illegal gambling going on. You're in the fucking mafia.
I mean, gambling and illegal cigarettes, that could bring you home a lot of money. I don't know.
But has the mafia ever been known to peddle in pinball machines?
Maybe they could pack drugs in the pinball machines.
Well, they were once illegal.
A la steel.
Oh, yeah, now you're talking, Kevin. They're opening up the pinball machines and hiding coke in it, much like the Shaquille O'Neal film Steel.
But it's guns in that movie, but still.
Right, right.
Well, I guess you could put anything in
there. You could put anything in a pinball machine.
You could put anything inside a pinball machine.
Probably Fred Savage in there, too.
Fit him right in.
There we go.
Get in there, Fred Savage.
We're going to get you across the line.
And then they forget to check on him. And it's just, so next time you play pinball, there might be a little boy's skeleton in it.
Just open it up. You're like, I found the wizard. Or no, the other one was the wizard. He was just along for the ride. Or which one was the wizard?
Well, no, the wizard, he's not the wizard.
It's the other kid, right?
The other little kid that nobody knows.
So immediately Patrick Swayze rolls up and he's like, oh, he looks at like a shell casing and he's like, my brother made these. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, how did you? Is Liam Neeson initialing these shotgun shells?
Well, because he probably has never seen a bullet with so much grub on it. And just like, black.
This shotgun shell looks like the pellets were loaded by someone with dirty fingernails.
He also looks at like the shotgun shot up Chinese food.
Oh,
it's just like, oh. Briar hates Chinese food.
I'm sure Briar hates a lot of things about Chinese culture, okay? The food is probably the least of the things he has to say about Chinese culture.
Chinese blank sets him off.
Slur, 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 slur. That's what's going on.
Yeah,
that's what you don't hear in the holler. It's a little bit of illegitimacy for this movie holler.
Yes.
So Swayze talks a big game and then basically just leaves.
There's a lot of him. Like, I get that he's trying to play, like, by the book police officer. We're going to catch this guy. But how about we toughen up a little bit?
But he's also just rubbing it in their faces and it's weird. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, that's just my
poking
point.
The bear.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It's all bullshitting until I can finally watch the hillbillies and the mafiosos go at it.
And then here's the thing. Sykes shows up to see what's happened while he was out and like how the place is wrecked and stuff. And that's when Adam Baldwin's doing more slur, slur, slur. And he says something about like the hillbillies again. And Sykes is like, you know, they used to say that about Sicilians like us.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, you know, he's felt what it's like to be a hillbilly. So stop going off about it.
You do kind of glean from this movie that the mob boss is
like
not
a good guy.
Yeah, he's not the worst guy in the world, right? He's feeding his illegal gambling buddies.
Yeah.
He's pissed off that Bill Paxton was murdered, you know.
He loves his son.
Oh,
yeah.
He loves that little definitely 100% legitimate Sicilian son of his.
Of course.
Ben Stiller. The most Sicilian one of them all.
And yeah. I do give him credit because he doesn't even try the accent.
Nope. No. He's just good Ben Stillering.
Him, well, no, good. Yeah, because he's like, you know, he's young enough to be raised in America.
Yeah.
He's,
right.
Well, I assume upper he's gone class. Home once or twice, gone to the homeland probably. If your father is a don.
Oh yeah, you make the pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Oh man, that must be nice.
Yeah, dude.
Think about that.
It's like when you go, like when Michael Corleone, you know, goes to Italy to go into hiding after he murders the guys in The Godfather, right? That's like the Italian mafia's version of the Birthright program.
Right.
It's like you did your first mafia hit, then you got to go back to the motherland to wait it out.
Oh, man. I can't wait for my first hit.
So at some point, Patrick Swayze arrests Liam Neeson in a bar. Like, you went in there and shot up this place like I'm taking you downtown. Which, you know, that shit's not going to stick.
No way.
No, it's Liam Neeson. Don't try to arrest him.
You step in a briar patch, it sticks you. Not
well,
the other way around.
That's the thing is Swayze handcuffs him, but then
what you doing?
There's a sick bar fight that happens right here between the two of them. They just start going at it like wolves. And
brother
it's great.
To brother, man.
And it's awesome because you get a lot of, in the background, there's a lot of ADR like, just let them settle it up, guys. Just let them, you know what? They're just got to blow off some steam. Meanwhile, it's just like all these extras not even looking at what's happening. Well, but it's like this gruesome fucking bar fight.
The bartender starts to call the police and some regular like hangs up the phone.
Yeah, that's how it happens, yeah, dude. I think like, it's that bartender's like first week on the job.
Yeah, what an idiot. He doesn't know that there's this guy's a lawman.
He's a lawman.
It's his brother.
And this bar has its own way of handling things.
This is a holler fight. You don't trick up a holler fight.
Holler fight! That'd be great if someone just hollered that in this movie, right?
Yeah, man.
So they come to an agreement, right? So Patrick Swayze, of course, lets him out of jail. And the whole thing is Patrick Swayze's like, give me a day or whatever it is to get some leads on finding this coworker of Bill Paxton's. That's going to, you know, we need this guy to testify. Then everybody's going down. We'll know what's what, you know, and if you help me, you know, we can do this. And Liam Neeson's like, all right, well, if I don't help you, then I'm going back to jail. So he kind of has
my hand here.
Yeah. Has no choice in the matter kind of a thing. So that's like the agreement that they make. Liam Neeson's like kind of staying with them now too, like in the house. We get a lot of Helen Hunt teaching kids to shittily play the violin, which it reminded me, like, I have all the respect in the world for, like, music teachers who teach beginner instruments, especially string instruments. Oh, of course. Their job is hearing garbage be played every day. And they have to go, well, you're getting a little better.
Yeah.
That was good. And in their head, they're like, God, that's garbage. Like, I mean, that's just some patience that I would not have. I mean, could not teach an instrument to someone.
It's exactly. I mean, if you had to judge a competition of nails on chalkboard, it's essentially what it is.
Oh, let's talk about the creepiest part of this movie, which is Patrick Swayze comes home. I think it's like after he's like, Liam Neeson, you got to cool off in the drunk tank.
Yeah.
He goes home and Helen Hunt's there, gives him a big old smooch when he walks in the door. And she's like, oh, I got something to tell you. And he's like, what? One of your shitty students play a song correctly? And she's like, no. And she kind of like leans out of the way. And you don't see what he's looking at. But then he's like, are you serious? Are you fucking serious right now? Oh, my God, you're pregnant. And they like hug and whatever. And then it cuts to like what he was looking at. And it's from the back of this thing. It's a teddy bear sitting in a high chair.
Yeah.
Oh man, what are we doing? There are ways to tell people things,
too much.
And then there's putting a teddy bear in a
too much
chair.
Hunt. You went over the line.
It's the creepiest. Oh yeah. Oh, you know how I'm gonna tell my husband I'm pregnant? I'm gonna put this furry fucking doll where our baby's gonna
just
sit.
Take out the stick and show it to him. That's all you got to do. Don't
Chris,
do this.
Chris
whole...
Cabin, always a romantic.
I was just going to say the endless romanticism of Chris Cabin.
Jesus.
Now, here's the thing with a movie like this, though. You've got the mafia involved making all sorts of threats, and you have this side character who announces to our hero that she's pregnant. Now, in this revenge-type movie, you'd think that she's getting thrown down the stairs, something. She's either getting killed or something's happening where she loses the baby.
Well, something worse happens to
her. Well, that's the thing, is we should talk about this stupid scene.
How on earth is this worse than what I just said?
It's not.
Oh, all right.
But, you know, she's outside for a second, and then it's all of a sudden like, hey, you Helen Hunt? Hello? And it's like, tomato face!
Hey Oswald! It's a Hey Oswald moment with Adam Baldwin.
Oh yeah, he totally Hey Oswalds her with, it's red paint.
Right, but I thought it was...
Acid.
No.
Really?
I thought it was tomato sauce. I'm like, this is the Italian mafia. I thought it was tomato sauce.
No, holy shit, she just got chicken parmed in the middle of the street.
Well, that's a little hot, isn't it? Hot tomato sauce.
Acid is the way to go.
That was because she has like problems with her eye. Like when she's trying to get back in the house, she has problems climbing up the stairs because she can't see. And I'm like, oh my God, they blinded her. She can't read music anymore. She can't teach the shitty kids.
Yeah.
It's all over for her.
Yeah, destroy her livelihood, actually. That's a good call.
And probably the stress would make her have like a miscarriage, more than likely.
I mean, you want your character to be like ready for full on revenge mode.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And Adam Baldwin's just doing this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Also, why is it that it's Adam Baldwin himself doing this? This is when you send one of your goblins to go do it. Like, go park outside of this lady's house. When she comes outside, throw this spaghetti sauce in her face.
Well, that's the thing. It would seem that Adam Baldwin's the only real goblin mafioso they have. All the other ones are like legitimate businessmen who are like trying to make everything work out for everybody.
One of the guys, one of the other mafia henchmen, legitimately seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, they all seem like totally fine guys. And then there's just Adam Baldwin as a villain.
You know what they sometimes say is a rotten apple will spoil the, what is it?
Bunch. Yeah. Spoil the bunch. A member of that bunch, by the way, is the dude who was one of the orphans in the Warriors, the guy with like the lazy eye.
He seems like a nice dude in this.
There's an awesome, like, total accident caught on camera in this movie with that guy. After Liam Neeson like jets out of the hideout after he shoots it up, Adam Baldwin is so pissed off, he kicks the water cooler container like across the room. You can totally see it hit this actor in the shin, and the guy just be like, oh, my fucking God! Like, he grabs his shin like, fucking, this is the fourth time Adam Baldwin's done this to me. He keeps, you know what? Next time he does it, I'm going to tell John Irvin about it. I'm going to go write the director and say, he keeps kicking that shit in my leg.
Well, that makes complete sense, because Adam Baldwin does have a bully vibe to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, off screen, big I bet time. He was a bit of an ass.
Also on Twitter. Oh, God, what a creep.
Yeah, the guy who, you know, so fantastically played Animal Mother in Full Metal Jacket. Who knew he'd turn out to be a creep?
A shit. A real shit. So now the mafioso goes after Neeson, correct? And they're in his little apartment?
They turn this place over. And it's kind of like, you know what, Italian guys? When you're going to, like, shake somebody down or rough somebody up and you're trying to get into where he lives... Don't show up in full, like, tacky mafia suit and tie.
This is the most hilarious shit ever, because they bring a fucking pizza.
That they ate beforehand.
They got a pizza box. I'm sorry. They're dressed in mafioso suits, walking around the pizza box, telling people they have a delivery for this room number. I would be so unsettled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Let me see here. Two grown men in suits, not a teenager with a stupid hat on.
Right, but a grown man in a suit delivering anything besides a lawsuit would would chill me to the bone. Like, it's just like, yeah, like they buzz like, oh, UPS, and it's a guy in a suit.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
I would shit my pants.
Right on this. Yeah, dude, you're totally right. Like, it's a special delivery. Oh, is it?
You order something from Amazon? Yeah.
Are you here to deliver me to hell?
Well, that's the thing. It's either assassins or like a strippergram.
Oh, I could use a beefcake.
Yeah.
These two uggos delivering this pizza aren't taking it off for anybody.
They're unsettling.
Taking it off for the fucking prison processor.
Their names very well might be Mike, but they are not Magic.
And if anything, they're going by Mikey in this movie. Yes. So Michael Pollard's character, like, you know, of course we'll let these two dangerous henchmen in.
Yeah.
And they kind of just tear up the place. Neeson escapes out the window. You are led to believe he just jumps onto the tracks of the L.
Oh, no, it's a wonderful sequence of events.
Yes.
He hides in the room. Somehow these guys turn the whole place around.
And he's hiding in the room?
Yes,
he's hiding in the room.
Blink and you miss him. And then all of a sudden the guy looks out the window and he gets him from behind. And
Oh, you're right. Neeson throws that dude out the window.
He throws a dude out the window and he's hanging there.
Oh, that's great. He falls off and like falls onto the fire escape and everything.
Well, what happens is Liam Neeson, like, he pushes him out and then he goes out and he steps on his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Just to say, fuck you. And then he gets on. He does. He jumps on a subway train.
Yeah, he jumps on the train.
Yep. Which he also does in Run All Night.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not bad.
All right.
It's fine.
Better or worse than Walk Among the Tombstones?
I liked it better, but I had a lot of problems walks Among the Tombstones.
What were your problems with the Detective Junior?
Jesus Christ. You know how you get me to stop looking at the TV? Pair Liam Neeson with a child detective.
Yeah, I don't need it.
Yeah, unless he's playing Batman and there's a Robin. I could go for a Liam Neeson Batman, kind of a Dark Knight Returns.
Like an older one.
Yeah, he could do that. But then you'd be like, he also played Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Conflict.
That's true.
Well, what's his face? Chris Evans has played like two superheroes. Ryan Reynolds has played like three.
I think Pine's going to probably get up there
soon. Thank you for acknowledging that Captain Kirk is a superhero.
He is.
Well, what else is he playing?
He's going to play Green Lantern.
Get the fuck out of here.
Rumored, yeah.
He might be taking it over.
Oh, shit, dude.
But not confirmed. But still, I mean, I would have liked to see Neeson as one of these, you know, superhero types.
Right.
He would also, I mean, like Superman's father.
That would be good.
Superman Senior.
if he was Jor-El, that would be kind of cool.
I would like that.
So another weird thing that happens in this movie, like Patrick Swayze gets the call at the precinct. You know, something, something, they threw paint in my eyes.
Yeah.
So he rushes home and he's looking for Helen Hunt. He's got his gun drawn in the house. And she's in the shower, like trying to wash the paint out. And he opens the shower door and she's there with her clothes on, like just trying to, you know, wash, you know, rinse her eyeballs out or whatever. And he's like, what happened? What happened? Oh, let me help you. And she like kind of tries to push him away or whatever. She's pissed off because she finds out that him and Liam Neeson are kind of like hunting for this guy. And she knows, you know, Patrick Swayze's not using appropriate channels. But then Patrick Swayze gets in the shower and they're like hugging and they both have their clothes on. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure in the grand scheme of humanity, like when someone hears that like their partner had a traumatic thing and they're in the shower. Yes, that's happened. But for the sake of this movie, get out of the damn shower. Like, it's so awkward. Like, they're trying to say lines of dialogue, and they're just getting covered in water, and his cool jacket's getting ruined.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, like,
it's not more emotional that he got in the shower with his clothes on to give her a hug.
It doesn't make sense. You guys are acting like it defies physics.
It's not that it defies physics. It's just like stupid looking.
It's also the biggest cliche in the world.
It's emotional, guys. You know, if you have a heart. Maybe this would happen to you.
Well, I got to go find mine then.
There's an awesome
scene.
Check
the toilet.
Oh, wait a second, everybody. I talked over that, but Chris said he had to go find his heart, and Eric told him to check the toilet.
I'm just saying.
It might be there.
It's where you least expect it.
The last place you look.
So Liam Neeson is like weaponless, you know. I don't know, at some point in like the chase with the mafia or something, he loses his shotgun and whatever.
They take his shotgun.
They take it from him?
Well, that's the thing, is I thought this was setting up you know, we're here, and as soon as he opens the door, we're going to blow his brains out, and that's how it's going. But not really, they just take the gun.
They take the gun for a reason.
Well,
it comes back later.
Oh, yes.
So Liam Neeson needs a gun to go kill Adam Baldwin, so he goes to this bar. I think it's the same bar that he was previously at when the big hillbilly brawl happened. And he's like, hey, bartender, here's $100. Give me your gun that's behind the bar. And the guy's like, this is a peaceful bar, buddy. You know, there's no gun behind here. And then, like, the WWE's Mick Foley, Liam Neeson puts this guy in, like, the mandible claw and starts shoving him behind this bar, like, with his fucking fingers in his mouth. Yeah. Like, you're going to give me your shotgun, barkeep. You're going to take my $100 and you're going to like it. And he just, like, takes the gun, like, have a nice day. But it's just this weird scene where he's just, like, got his fucking fingers in this dude's mouth. The same grimy fingernail fingers.
Oh. Also, you've seen what this guy can do. Do you just want to give the guy the gun, take the $100, and be happy?
Exactly.
And he said he's going to return it even. He said he's just taking it out for a day.
So at some point, there's a scene where Adam Baldwin's like, get me the hillbilly's gun. And you're like, oh, that's weird. You know, what's going on? Cut to... there's like an outside shot. There's some cops around. It starts very awkwardly with like a shot of a river, and there's this big boat like going down the river. And there's this woman. I don't know if you guys noticed this because it is nothing. It's like an extra, but there's a woman in this bright red dress standing on the bow of this boat doing like the Titanic thing. And you're like, who the fuck is this woman? Like, why are they waiting for her? But then the boat just passes by, and you're like, oh, that's an extra? I mean, this woman is clear as day, like, look at me, movie. And I'm like, all right, who's this character? Like the mafioso's wife or something the like
Gumar,
that?
Gumar,
man. Yeah, yeah.
It's foreshadowing. She represents the specter of death that looms over everyone.
Well, so then this cop is just like, oh, hey, Patrick Swayze, you might want to get down here. We found something interesting. It's Ben Stiller, burned to a crisp.
Tortured and burned.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. He looks, it's like your mom spilled the plate of Sloppy Joe's on the floor. That's what he looks like.
All you see is his hand, and it's just this red fucking claw.
Oh, man. And you're just like, why is that not a scene in the movie? Why? Because they sure make no mistake.
There was a brief moment where Patrick Swayze was trying to like reason with Ben Stiller and say, you know, I just want the guy that did this.
Right.
It's like, obviously it's like, you know, Ben Stiller doesn't want that crackpot around anymore either.
Who would?
So I guess somehow Adam Baldwin finds out about that.
Well, Adam Baldwin is like, come on, I got another lesson to teach you. Let's go. And it's him and these two other guys. And what I don't understand is how did the two other guys not just be like,
how about no?
I mean, I don't know what's going on here. But so he's just hilariously burned to death in this movie. Doesn't get a final scene whatsoever. It's just like, all right. I mean, it's not a huge loss. And for 1989, this is a nothing actor that nobody knew anyway. But it's weird watching this in 2015, and it's Ben Stiller is a huge actor, and you're just like, oh, he's just hilariously burned alive, and you don't, you know. But so they're able to figure out, like, he was shot with Liam Neeson's gun. So it's Adam Baldwin's pinning everything to make the mafia head give the okay for him to go kill him, which makes no sense because Adam Baldwin's just trying to do it anyway, so who gives a shit? I guess it's like to get the full support of the mafia behind him.
Right, it's also to eliminate the heir to the throne here.
Oh, that's,
so
true.
So that he can now be
Yeah, that's, I think, the major thing is just to get to bump him off and get him out of here. But, and like, also, I'm sorry, but if I was, you know, if you're Sykes and you hear about him killing Paxton, you immediately take him off the bench.
Oh, yeah.
And you put him away. He's not. He's doing paperwork.
Killed the brother of a cop.
You put him on the bench.
Well, I don't want even
you,
him.
What he's trying to say is he would be benched. Yes.
Yeah,
he's benched.
I just don't want him around anymore.
No, he's not on the playing field.
No, yeah.
You're killing, you know, kin of cops.
I would say drown him.
Yeah, I would have. There's
the Chicago River. There's Lake Michigan.
There's a lot of places.
Wisconsin's got some lakes.
You got the fuzz on us, man, and we're just doing cigarettes and gambling.
Who yeah, needs it?
He's like, you know what? You are way too extreme for the Chicago Mafia. Like, that's some New York Mafia bullshit, okay?
Yeah.
Like, save that shit for Atlantic City. Here in Chicago, we just sell and steal cigarette machines and fucking pinball games,
this is
okay?
Just Chicago, the home of Al Capone, okay?
Yeah, totally. Would Al Capone do this? No. Al Capone set up a rich tradition of some innocent illegal gambling, and yes, from time to time, stealing and selling cigarettes illegally.
And completely logical use of baseball bats.
Yeah, never laid a finger on anybody. This is just ridiculous, Adam Baldwin. And then he's like, oh yeah, buddy, we'll slur on you.
Oh, but yeah, this is another where he goes off about how these people are animals. Oh, you got to let me kill
them.
Yeah,
a lot of these people are animals in this movie.
You could see more of that on Adam Baldwin's Twitter account.
Where he is, once again, the internet's greatest monster.
It's insane what happened to that guy.
Is his name on Twitter Hayden Baldwin?
I think so.
It's a good handle.
It's yeah. If he doesn't, you know, he should consider scooping that shit up, just in case. So now the stage is pretty much set. There's the one thing that's weird is the Del Close double cross at the end of this movie. Like, this movie's pretty much over, but there's the Del Close double cross where, like, he says to one of the other nameless mafia guys, like, hey, Adam Baldwin likes to brag. So I'm going to put a wire on you when you go out to dinner with this dude. And just you make sure you get him talking. Yeah.
Well, we can't miss Breyer getting killed.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I totally forgot about that. In all the craziness, there's a shootout at the hideout because, again, he tries to get the drop on these guys. And, yeah, Liam Neeson is murdered.
Yes.
By Adam Baldwin.
And Swayze has a sweet goodbye to him.
Yeah, it's
at
very
least
sad.
Breyer takes out a couple of henchmen before.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Goes.
It's an yeah. outright massacre.
It's
like
great.
He does a good job, you know, before being murdered by Adam Baldwin.
Early on, he told the Flophouse proprietor that you, like, if I'm not back in the morning, you better call my kin.
Phone my kin. The thing I was thinking was like, these guys have a phone, or are you like calling a general store and then they got to send a pigeon? Or I guess a carrier hog is more like it.
This phone number is for the whole county. You called that number.
Heard about the county line, right?
I'm related to everyone in that county. Whoever you speak to, they'll know me. They'll know Breyer.
So, I mean, he does make that phone call, and the guy's like, well, thanks a lot, good buddy. And hangs up the phone, and you're like, huh, I wonder what's going to happen with that.
And this is where the Brother to Brother song kicks in again.
Yeah, you're Brother to Brother all over the place.
And Snake Man is introduced.
Now, here's the thing, everybody.
Dude.
Let me get this out here. Is there a snake fucker in this movie?
I'm telling you can't fuck snakes.
No, and I'm not saying like fucking a snake.
Wait,
like
is
fucking
this a prior
snake.
Theory you guys brought up together?
I texted Cabin last night when I was watching this movie, and I said, is there a snake fucker in this movie? Because this guy, and yes, not like actually fucking a snake, but like there are people
using it as a condom?
No. Like there are people who like having like snakes and bugs crawl on them and stuff while they're naked. And it gets them hard. Yeah, there's an actual name for it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can believe and I can get behind the idea of a man who's masturbating while snakes are just crawling
all over
him. And
that's what I mean while I'm saying snake fucker. I'm not saying he's penetrating the snake.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you meant.
No. I just mean, like, is he, like, jerking off with a snake around his
waist? I would say almost certainly.
Because this dude is like, oh, my precious little Bessie. Sexy Bessie, we're going to go for a ride. And he takes this snake and puts it in a fish tank, and you're like, okay. And then, like, we back out a little wider, and it's a school bus full of snakes. And I was like, this dude's jerking off with these snakes.
That's what you think. That's where your mind goes.
Yeah. Straight to the gutter. I know. I know how it sounds.
I just thought this guy likes buses and snakes.
You naive child. He's doing shit with those snakes.
There's just too many snakes.
Also, because he's like, hey, rest of my kinfolk, anybody want to ride with me? I got a whole school bus. And this old man's like, not on your life, kin. And like slaps him on the back. And I was like, what's he talking about?
Oh,
because they all know he's doing shit with the snakes.
I do believe that he is jerking off with the snakes.
Thank you.
That is absolutely
Thanks for Chris Cabin having his feet on the ground and not his head in the clouds like Eric.
I'm going to give this guy what I like to call my benefit of the doubt. I think he may be he's definitely jerking off in that bus.
Yes.
But maybe it doesn't involve the snakes and the snakes are just there.
But then you're just making these poor snakes watch you jerk off.
Yeah, aren't you feeling shameful?
That's what happens. You got pets. What do you want to do?
Walk outside your bus and jerk off outside your bus.
Well, like you would piss on
the property, exactly. Jerk off on your own property.
Not everyone has the gusto of Breyer.
I guess that is a fair point.
So cut to this Chinese restaurant. The mafia in this movie.
I hate Chinese food.
No, but the mafia loves Chinese food in this movie because they're at a Chinese restaurant. And Adam Baldwin's like telling the story and he's like... Yeah, and then he was kind of begging for his life, and he's like chewing with his mouth open like a fucking pig.
Oh, God.
And then the greatest delivery ever, he's just like, and then I said, fuck it, and I shot him. And these guys are like, that's hilarious, dude. You totally murdered our boss's son and told us about it.
Check, check. Check, 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 check.
Yeah, seriously.
Finally, I just said, fuck it, and shot him.
So the guy from the Warriors.
Idiot Adam Baldwin.
Oh, yeah. The guy from the Warriors like goes out to have a smoke or something like outside the restaurant. Patrick Swayze like finds this dude and is just like, FYI, you've now killed two of my brothers, and throws this guy through a window. Oh, it's awesome.
It's right, at this point, I believe he's suspended from the force.
No, he's not suspended. He fucking gives that badge away.
Right. And it's just like, you're telling your boss, you know what? I'm just going to be a vigilante now.
Yeah, can we just get a couple of guys on him? Like, because he's clearly going to go and try to kill the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be watched.
Yeah. There's a great moment where it's when he gives the badge up and he's like, you know, Adam Baldwin killed my brother, right? And this cop's like, you know that. I know that. Rossellini knows that. And like, he's going on and on. And this is the shittiest shot in this movie because they're trying to get close on this cop who's like given this big moment. The camera just goes completely out of focus. And you're just like, what the fuck? Was that the best take of him yelling about Rossellini?
It's art.
No, it's not. It's a fucking professional mistake. It's noticeable in a major motion picture.
When that happens, it's called art. It's a little trick of the movies.
Speaking of Jackson Pollock. Oh, yeah, I meant that cigarette to be on that canvas. Yeah. Yeah. Professional mistake.
Personal touch.
So, I mean, this movie's over, right? It's on. We're going to the graveyard.
Finally, the part of the movie I wanted.
Oh, my God. The kin show up.
They go to the flop house, and they're just like, where is Patrick Swayze? We got to get it on, you know.
And hilariously enough, it's like exactly like the end of Walk Among the Tombstones.
Yeah, you're totally right. They go for a walk among the tombstones in this movie, but Liam Neeson's fucking 6 feet under already.
Yeah.
And so Patrick Swayze's there. There's kind of like a standoff. Then the shootout begins, and you're like, okay. And then in the greatest turn of hillbilly justice, Patrick Swayze has a bow and arrow out of nowhere.
He goes full on arrow on these people.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's just arrows in the chest everywhere to these mafia guys.
He's hidden several bows, long and cross, amongst the tombstones. And he's just shooting these people, and it's nice.
Oh, it's gorgeous. This whole thing is awesome.
Pure Legolas. It's like he can like go around a tree and shoot a guy. It's incredible.
Yeah, and like these Italians are shooting off guns. You could hear where that's coming from. These arrows, they don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, just a quick
It's fantastic. So like they're terrifying. When he's cornered, all of a sudden he starts hearing like all these animal noises.
Yeah.
And as far as the movie making is concerned, these are some ADR like dog barks and cat meows, right?
Yeah.
And bird sounds. But we find out that these noises are being made by the hillbilly kin.
Yes, the wildlings are here.
And I'm just like, how is that dude making that dog noise? Like, if I'm making a dog noise, I'm like, roo. And it clearly sounds like a man just making a rough sound.
Yeah. This is what I was telling you before, dude. These people know hounds, man. They haven't figured out.
Well, a smell hound is part of the hillbilly army.
Yeah, because dogs are just a gun to them. It's just another weapon. this albino hillbilly releases the hounds on some Italian dudes.
Well, I also think it's probably just what they do, like, to pass the time in the mines, is work on their animal calls.
You know what else they work on is their axe throwing, which we saw earlier in the movie, and
their
God
snake
damn it.
Masturbation.
They also work on the snake masturbation, but
it's tricky.
More importantly, and coming way more in handy than jerking off with snakes, is axe throwing, because this one mafia guy is like, oh, what are we doing here, Adam Baldwin, sitting around with our hands up our ass, real heroic. And he's like, all right, Vito, why don't you fucking go out there if you're so brave? And this dude's like, all right, I will. He sees actors like his big part of the movie. Motherfucker takes two steps. This dude throws an axe right in his chest. It's awesome.
Sucks about it is when he lands, you can clearly see it was like one of those things where they were just like, okay, so we're just going to tape the blade of the axe to your shirt. And like, it's not any blood and it's not like it's half dug in or anything.
Stop ruining the magic.
The magic.
So like, we get a full on hillbilly army versus Italian mafia army. And it's amazing. And it's like the tricks of the trade that the hillbillies pull are amazing.
Number one trick, locking a dude in that snake bus.
Yeah. Yep, locks a dude in that snake bus. He gets eaten by snakes, and that guy probably jerks off later about that. Yeah. Also, a guy runs into a bear trap. Gets his leg chomped.
Oh, my God. There is nothing more entertaining than hillbilly justice.
Well, that's the thing. The one thing I've learned from Justified is that all hill folk have bear traps, and they will use them on you at any time.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
They're terrifying to come across in the woods. You know, back in my old holler, I've seen them.
Oh, bear traps?
Yeah, that shit's no joke. All kinds of traps. Oh, God.
So Patrick Swayze is cornered. We think his number is up, and then here comes Isabella. What is his name? Yeah, Isabella. Yeah,
mobster?
Yeah.
We were calling him Zykes because that's his character.
I just called him Sykes, but it's Isabella. It's Don Isabella.
Right, so Isabella comes out, and you're like, shit, he's fucked. Here we go. And dude, like, pulls out the gun, and he's like, all right, Adam Baldwin, step away. It's time to finish this. And he totally points the gun at him. There's a really terribly delivered, this is for murdering my son! And then just fucking shoots Adam Baldwin dead. And the world applauds.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
But
there's also a couple great Swayze punching the shit out of him, too.
Oh, yeah. There is a great fight before he's cornered. Yeah. He kicks the shit out of him.
But it's great.
I will say, this was not the death I wanted for Adam Baldwin.
Now, snake eating?
That, I would have preferred that. You know, just getting bit by a bunch of snakes.
Yeah. Maybe his heart gets ripped out and he gets sent down into a swirling lava pit like Temple of Doom.
Well, yeah, if Sykes wanted to do, you know, Kalima Shaki Day, you know, I'm fine with that.
Oh, my God. If suddenly the Italian mob boss rips a dude's beating heart out and sends him into hell.
That's the death you've set up for Adam Baldwin in this movie. You cannot just shoot him what looks like in the shoulder.
Yeah, he deserves to get Kali Ma Shakti Dade, that's for sure.
Or just get full anaconda'd, like Owen Wilson. That's all I'm looking for.
Or then he could be like John Voight and then get vomited back out, wink, and then die. Remember that shit in that movie?
Oh, my God.
What fucking horseshit that movie
is. I haven't seen that movie since the mid to late 90s.
That may be my favorite of the bad movies. Of like, the famous bad movies.
Well, yeah.
That is up there for me.
This is probably a stay tuned, right? We're going to get
more than likely, but
Anaconda, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the territory of, like, a Batman and Robin, though. Like, people have done it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just, it is one of the great disasters.
But you know what makes it kind of, like, more unbelievable than anything else is in that movie, Owen Wilson's playing, like, a sex god, kind of. He's just like, just dick all over the place. And you're like, that's not you, Owen Wilson. That's not the Owen Wilson I love. That's not the Shanghai Knights Owen Wilson.
Maybe Luke Wilson gets on to that fucking shit, but like, come on, Owen.
So Isabella shakes hands with Patrick Swayze and he's like, so this means it's done, right? And Patrick Swayze agrees that the blood feud between the Italian mafia and the Kentucky Hill folk has been settled. Thank God for that. It only took two brothers. That's the thing, though. It's a little uneven. Well, I guess he's counting Adam Baldwin in this, like two sons for two brothers.
Right, and there were a lot of henchmen that went down, you know.
That's true. I guess like five henchmen equals one brother.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's a conversion rate.
It depends if they're your first, your second cousin, your third cousin. I mean, there's a whole system. I'm sure they have a chart somewhere, an Excel spreadsheet.
So here's the bit of bullshit about this movie.
One thing a Kentucky Hill folk has never heard before is Excel spreadsheet.
Is that a NASCAR team?
Is that something I can open the door and piss on? Hey, cool. Hey, cool, I'm pissing on my computer. Hey, cool, it's broken.
Check this out, I'm logging on.
The bit of bullshit about the end of this movie, though, is this movie needs to end with that cemetery handshake.
Yeah.
We fade to black and that's the end of it. Here's my problem. This ending scene is totally and obviously tacked on because, you know what? Patrick Swayze has the hair he has in Ghost and not in this. The two ponytails are completely gone.
Are you talking about the scene where they bring back Helen Hunt?
Yeah.
And he's like in, what is it, like a
They're in the police station and he like limps out and whatever. And there's no, he's limping. It's like that morning.
Yeah.
There's no like 6 months later or anything like that. No. And he has a completely different haircut. How do you not have an actor through your entire movie, like noticing that he has two ponytails? And then you're like, all right, so then 4 hours later, what, do you get a fucking haircut at the doctor? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, your character must change at the end of the movie. That's kind
that's
of,
true. I mean, that's really just screenwriting 101.
That would be awesome if he just pulled both the ponytails off and he was like, ah, I've been undercover for 10 years.
Oh, but one for each brother, right? Now he could cut it off.
I'm going to pour out a couple of these ponytails for my brother.
Interestingly enough, they're leaving the police station there, and then just some dude smacks a piece of paper really hard in his hand for no apparent reason.
That's why this is horseshit, is Helen Hunt comes up like, oh, I'm so glad you're alive. I was so worried. Fuck you for lying to me. Let's get out of here. And he's like, you know, oh, I'm excited to, you know, be a father, blah, blah, blah.
He tells Breyer's dead.
Yeah, she's like Breyer, and he's like, oh, I didn't make it. And then they walk out, like they walk off into the sunset out of the police station. This cop, it's the same like sort of partner of his that's been going through this whole movie. Yeah. The guy who's like, Rossellini knows it, you know, like that guy.
Yeah.
And he's just got this newspaper, and he slaps the newspaper against his other hand, and on the slap, we fade to black, and we cut to black.
We cut to the credits, and there's just Rooster Rock.
Oh, man.
It's that brother-to-brother
brother song again.
I got to say, I loved this. I loved the smack of the newspaper and right to the Rooster Rock. Yeah. Gorgeous.
But here's the thing. And
honestly, it just did it for me. I know it's stupid, but...
Well, no, I mean, if you're going to have... My problem is that this scene doesn't add anything to the movie.
It's stupid.
I kind of would have rathered it end like he has to bring Breyer's body back.
And then
to the holler,
is he staying in the holler though?
Maybe
that's the
ultimate. Gonna clean up the holler.
Well, it's the fuck you to the big city, right? Yeah. He's like, no, I'm gonna move back to the hills. Also, I'm probably gonna run for mayor of the holler.
And Helen Hunt's like, great.
Yeah, I can't wait to be able to teach classical violin.
Oh,
the
great,
holler.
The Kentucky Symphony Orchestra.
Fantastic. The Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, aka the Charlie Daniels Band.
Would anybody recommend Next of Kin?
Yes, I would. I had fun watching this. I know some people thought it was a snooze, but I thought it was fun. Just watching Liam Neeson jumping on train cars and killing Italians. Hey, sign me up.
Well, that's I'm conflicted. I'm gonna say no, but like, here's the thing: is the action scenes work very well. You just have to wait for fucking ever. Between there's so much stuff about like, oh man, you shouldn't be doing this. Oh well, I'm gonna do this. Well, it lags down the movie. The movie is what, 110 minutes or some god.
Yeah, we're kind of closing in on 2 hours,
and it just doesn't need that.
I would totally recommend this movie, and I think one of the things is in the downtime there are interesting things to laugh at, including a scene we didn't talk about where it's Liam Neeson and Patrick Swayze driving in a car. And they're reminiscing about like what a rough and tumble, you know, group of guys they used to be. And he's like, remember that time I went out with Mary Lou, whatever, and you thought that she was your gal? And he's like, well, cause she was. And he's like, yeah, we duked it out good that night. We were duking it out to like 3 a.m. Like he says duking it out like four times.
We're the real Dukes of Hazzard.
But then it's a fucking totally garbage, amazing line is Liam Neeson's just like, yeah. Can't believe we were fighting over her. You should see her now.
real scuzz bucket. And I'm like, you are calling anybody a scuzz bucket, Briar? Have you seen those fingernails?
Betty Jean, man, you should see her today. Real scuzz bucket.
No shit?
Yeah.
That's Next of Kin from 1989, directed by John Irvin. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Find us on the Sideshow Network and check out the other shows on there, sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. If you have ever had to go avenge your brother's murder from a holler, if you're right. From a holler.
Yes,
a
holler. And if you're from a holler, we apologize. We were just joking around. Right? I just don't want any of that H justice.
Eric
coming
was just
my...
getting around.
Yeah. 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 All right, clue for next week's episode.
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, man. Ooh. We're getting to the actual Baldwin clan next week.
Yeah.
Not this fucking poser. This really mean poser.
Yeah, kick him to the curb, man.
So until next week, where we're talking about something with Alec Baldwin, and wow, that is a deep filmography.
Yeah, get ready.
I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.